Good evening, everyone, and welcome to I'm Actually Comics for February 20th, 2019. I am Tristan.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to talk about some comics, even though I did technically get shorted by Diamond one entire box. One entire double-sided 75-pound box of comics is not
Jesus,
here.
Diamond.
So we are missing quite a few titles. Sorry about that. We didn't get to read things like X-Men and Wolverine and the
Infinity
Watch. So there are a few things that are ridiculously big titles that we didn't even read.
Like there's an X-Men comic out too.
Like there's an Uncanny X-Men comic that's like a, I think is
Damn.
The big, you know, Cyclops Wolverine team up and
like bosom buddies, but like with
exactly.
those guys.
Shooty and Slicey.
I actually watched the first 5 episodes of Bosom Buddies recently.
And it was great.
It was. Actually, not that bad. First episode was a little wonky, but they pulled it together.
Once they got their footing. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Don't be ridiculous.
Don't be ridiculous, please.
All right. Anyway, speaking of ridiculous, we didn't get all the comics.
Yeah, so, but we're going to talk about some comics anyway.
Yeah.
Stuff like Batman?
There's a man. He's made of bats.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah, Batman and Fleshman.
Yeah, this is this story is great.
Yeah, it's
I was
cool.
really I was stoked about this. I haven't really been paying that much attention to the current ongoing Batman series, but I do like this little Flash crossover arc. It's fun.
Yeah, it's kind of sort of ties into Heroes of Christmas, and it's Batman to Flash team up. They fight a villain. To give more away,
really,
spoil.
It throws back to the beginning of the arc,
the
beginning of this new Batman series.
The Tom King
era. So, yes, no spoilers.
No.
Did you read this book?
Did I? I tried. I flipped through the first like 4 pages and I was like, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
It's because it's a video game thing. If you're into this video game, you're going to like this comic.
That's my feeling. I basically just trusted Diamond on this one, which again is always a bad idea.
Ah, Diamond.
They did a Diamond Gem on this one. And I was like, okay, sure, why not? I'll give it a shot. It's based on a video game. Maybe somebody cares about it and I just don't know anything about it.
We haven't said what it is.
It is called Anthem.
Anthem, number one from Dark Horse.
And I don't understand it, but I'm sure that it ties into the video game.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, literally the cover is like a first-person shooter. Like, it's people shooting each other kind of stuff. And there's this, undoubtedly there is a story. Undoubtedly this comic is better than I would. I don't know. I just was like, it's a whole mythology of a comic book that comes out of a video game. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't have the patience for it, so I didn't read it. But it looks fine.
Let me tell you one thing. Avengers has vampires in it and a talking dog.
Continuing the story
of the vampires and the talking dog.
Is it a talking dog?
Well, it's skull-faced dog monster.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah. I forgot about that guy.
Actually, Cap in his inner monologue says, and there was a talking dog, which is
nice.
One of my favorite lines.
Yeah, it's good. It's continuing that story from we talked about the last issue that came out, and it's Avengers versus vampires. There's some guy that's called like General Blood Man. I can't remember, but there's
be careful, he can turn into a vampire or he can turn into a red mist. I'm gonna turn him into a red mist.
Nice. Also, it's got one of those good buy this comic or this person gets killed kind of thing. Conceit cover treatment. It's fun. I want to talk about a comic that I loved.
Okay.
Mars Attacks.
Ooh.
Number 5.
What a great book.
Not only has it been a great book, but this is hands down the best issue yet. There's some stunning Mars Attacks type amazing art in this. But it's also, it's like one guy and one Mars Attacks alien Martian. And they are basically with a dog walking across the devastated Earth landscape on a mission together. Pretty cool. I like it.
Yes.
I like it.
I'm going to talk about Grumble, number 4.
It was cool.
It's Grumble. It's got a pug in it. It also has a business cat who wears a business suit.
Yes.
And so you probably know whether or not you like it already.
It's like a human and a talking pug, and they fight crime on it's like street level crime.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also magic involved.
Also business cat.
And a business cat.
Bizcash Cat.
Yeah, and it's drawn by Mike Norton, who's great. And yep. probably other people who are great.
And loves pugs.
Yeah, he is. And who can draw a better pug than Mike Norton?
Exactly. Creator of Battle Pug.
Battle Pug.
Guardians of the Galaxy number 2.
Yes.
Continues to just be awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
This series is the best.
I like it. It's continuing the story. Everybody is sad in the Guardians of the Galaxy. It would be my bullet point takeaway.
And Thanos is dead.
Thanos is dead. He is
Or is he?
Well, no, they're saying that there's like he's going to rebirth himself by taking over the mind of someone else. And so everybody's like, it's going to be Person X, which obviously it's not going to be Person X. Duh. It's going to be the person you least expected, who probably is already manipulating events from within the comic that you can see.
I'm scared. Who is it?
I don't know. I'm not going to say.
Oh my
Spoilers,
God,
dude. Incursion is a Valiant comic that came out. It has really good art, and it is some kind of Valiant crossover starring the immortal. What's this guy called?
The
immortal guy.
Oh, that
Eternal
Warrior.
Warrior.
Yeah. Jesus.
But yeah, cool. If you're into the Valiant stuff, Incursion number 1, brand new issue.
Always good.
Looking
Valiant.
Good.
Just inevitably is fun.
Yeah.
Justice League 18.
Didn't understand it.
It has Brainiac.
It has villains. It has good art. Pascal Ferry. Pascal Ferry. He's good. He's been around for years. He's awesome. I love his style.
Love
it's like a bunch of villains standing around talking.
One of my favorite parts of this is the fact that it's like they seem like they're kind of morphing further and further towards being the Super Friends version of the Legion of Doom.
I do enjoy that.
Like everybody, like Grodd has gotten way way more like his version in the cartoons. And so is Luthor, and like it's cool.
I do like Luthor as cool as the Geoff Johns like stuff he was doing with Luthor was. Like it's cool to see Luthor just like kind of being Luthor and everybody being like
exactly.
But like I just wish it was more fun to read. It's the art's cool, the story on paper sounds cool.
Yes. Ah.
Oh yeah.
And now we have Kurt Wagner as the Amazing Nightcrawler, number 1.
This is okay.
Yes.
In this alternate universe, Kurt Wagner is an actor.
He is the world's most famous actor.
World's most famous actor. He is teamed up with Megan from Excalibur and also lots of other kind of ancillary X-Men characters are involved. The Cuckoos and Magma and a couple others. And it's just kind of a...
In the Munich Circus, he was known as the Great Nightcrawler.
That's really good.
Nailed that. I thought it was really fun.
It was fun.
It feels in the same way that like Excalibur kind of felt like fan fiction, but really well written. It feels that same way where this is like, oh, Nightcrawler has always gotten shafted as far as all of this stuff. How about we just kind of fix this thing for him for this little issue? To be like, let's give this imaginary person a gift because I feel like bad shit's been happening to him.
Well, it's like, we're talking about those things where it's like in the comic, he's like persecuted and all this. But like in reality, he's literally everyone's favorite.
Yeah, exactly.
So why not do it?
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about High Level. This is a Vertigo number 1. I liked it.
I tried to get into it, but I was like... I was too rushed for time, so...
Oh,
I love the artwork. Holy crap.
Yeah, well, it's the guy who drew Omega Men, Tom King's Omega Men, Barnaby Bagenda, and that's why I was like, okay, gotta check this out. And it is like a kind of dystopian future thing and questing kind of... you know, it's like that kind of a comic.
Yeah.
It's cool. You know, it's got great art. I dug it. High Level, number 1 from Vertigo.
Worst quote of the week goes to something from Nightwing.
Just flip to a random page
which
of
would
Nightwing
be,
57.
I'm so trigger happy you stopped by, Councilwoman. Councilman.
Oh, and then she's literally like
shooting
him
into the car.
Bracka, bracka, bracka.
Might be the worst line I've read all week.
Oh my God.
But, you know, It's Nightwing.
This is like this thing where it's like she's okay. It's Nightwing, and it's we all know if you're following Nightwing that it's like what, but this is the Joker's daughter is in this, and she still has, even though the Joker has somehow already grown his own face back, she still has his old dead face, and she's in it for whatever
it's
reason
durable.
Hasn't yeah, like she must have tanned it or something. It's like I don't know how it could still be intact, but she has the Joker's face and a really bad ugly costume. And also Nightwing is named Rick, and he's a taxi driver, and he doesn't want anything to do with his past.
My God.
I noticed that in the preview images of Detective Comics 1000, Nightwing looks totally normal. It's like, gee, why aren't you going with the current version of Nightwing for your iconic Detective Comics 1000 cover?
I would have gone with it.
Yeah, they should have. They should have leaned in hard, but they don't have the courage of their convictions.
You know who has the courage of their convictions?
Is it that guy in the comic you're holding?
Old Man Quill.
Yes, nailed it. I just didn't want to give spoilers.
Well, yeah, perfect.
But I knew.
I love this book. This is more rewarding than Old Man Hawkeye for me, and I thought Old Man Hawkeye was really good. I thought they did a great job with incorporating that stuff into, like, taking a series that is impossible to replicate. Like, Old Man Logan was genius from beginning to end and was so out there that it's impossible to just get that back.
Yeah.
And then they did it, and it was actually fun. And this is even better, I think. For me,
I like it better than the Hawkeye one.
This is craziness, and I loved this has a battle with the Wrecking Crew, yeah. Which is awesome.
It's pretty much the whole issue is a battle with the Wrecking yeah. Crew. It's pretty great.
There are some wonderful moments in it.
Speaking of the writer of Old Man Logan,
my goodness,
we can talk about Sharky.
What a crossover,
Sharky.
Yeah, that's so cool. This is Sharky the Bounty Hunter by Mark Millar and Simone Bianchi.
It's a bounty hunter comic that is written by Mark Millar, and if you are familiar with either of those concepts, you know exactly what this comic is like.
Yeah, I mean,
it
really,
looks fine.
It's. I liked it a lot, but again, I always kind of get this, like, you know, it's Mark Millar. You know, it's going to be a Mark Millar book. You kind of know what you're in for. But at the same time, Simone Bianchi, that artwork is awesome.
Well, that's what makes, I mean, literally, it's like what makes the Mark Millar comics not just like
right.
throwaway stuff is that he has like Frank Quitely and
right,
Simone
I
Bianchi
agree.
And but, Raphael Albuquerque. And,
but what I think is cool is who he chooses for the projects.
Yeah.
Like, I think that when you get somebody who's like very specific, like I feel like Chrononauts, I feel like Sean was kind of wasted on that book. Like it was good, but it wasn't the book that he should have been on.
Hmm.
But like this, that if it had been anybody else, this book would have sucked.
Hmm.
You know, like Chrononauts was still good, but it was like, I think that Sean should have been on a more sci-fi heavy, crazy robots, blah, blah, blah. It was because there were cars in it. That's why they chose him. He was like, Millar was like, there's going to be a car and we're going to do lots of car stuff. And so he does good car stuff.
I mean, Millar is a good.
But this book, I do love. I really do. I nice. Actually really, I really dig it, even though,
it's
again.
Like, it reminded me of like if Burt Reynolds played Han Solo.
Or Lobo. Burt Reynolds as Lobo.
Yeah, kind
of. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
For sure. I mean, the look of the character is definitely Burt Reynolds inspired.
Yeah.
It has. And also, Burt Reynolds was in a movie called Sharky's Machine.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm leaning towards thinking that that was intentional.
I think that he looks like Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Ooh.
As a superhero.
He's a little less portly.
Yeah,
Carl.
I mean, like given superhero physique
yes.
to Carl,
okay,
and then turn him purple.
I can see that. All right,
or maybe he's just like a super sexy Grimace with a mustache. Whatever.
Yeah, he is purple. Naomi from Brian Bendis and Walker. What's his name?
I'm sorry. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at Naomi number two.
Oh,
Naomi number two is out.
Who's writing this?
It's Brian Bendis.
Oh.
It's the new Brian Bendis
series
with Naomi.
I actually didn't read this one. I love the first one.
It's as good. It's a little slower than the first one. It's a mystery of who she is and how she fits into the grander scheme of the DCU. And I really dig it. The art's great. The characterization is great. I'm into the mystery. I'm into figuring it out. I think it's a little slow, but it's still well paced, and I'm down. I'm down with all the Bendis stuff at this point. Like it's kind of become like the corner of the DC universe that I enjoy. David F. Walker is the writer, and then Jamal Campbell is the artist. Good stuff. I dig it. I would highly recommend.
So wait, David Walker is writing this?
Yeah, it's Bendis and okay. David Walker, and then Jamal Campbell is the artist. Well, so David Walker is also the writer of this. Is that right?
The writer of
Bitterroot?
Yes. David Walker is also the writer of Bitterroot.
Bitterroot is awesome. That's also out. We're going to keep that one in this pile.
Sorry.
Bitterroot number 4 is out. It's an Image book from David Walker and Sanford Green and Chuck Brown, the other writer, set in the early 1900s, kind of like. You know, I'm afraid of using the wrong terminology to describe it, but it's basically just like genie kind of like demon kind of stuff. This issue is just a crazy battle. The art is so awesome in this. I love the book, and my commitment to the listener is that I will actually learn how to describe it better. But in the meantime, Bitterroot is a great series, and the new issue is out.
And it's monsterful, which is really fun.
This one is like literally entirely a battle with monsters. It's a family of monster hunters, demon hunters, and it's like in the 1920s Harlem, and they, I don't know, it's just crazy. It's great.
It's fun.
This was
crazy.
The team behind the Power Man and Iron Fist series of recent.
Oh, okay.
Relatively recent.
And he also wrote a Shaft series that was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who is the artist on that one, but
it's not the same guy. But,
like, what an impossible character to write. Like, how would you write a Shaft comic that someone wants to read? And he just,
it was
killed
awesome.
It.
Yep.
Yeah, like, that was when I was like, oh, this dude is like definitely a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, he's great.
So, Teen Titans, number 27. Mm. I'm going to say something controversial.
Mm.
I think Crush is an awesome character.
That's cool.
I have so much fun with the Crush story arcs. I like her teen angst as an angry young female Lobo. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. I just wish she was in a better comic.
Yeah, that honestly, it feels like the times when she shows up, I'm like all on board. And then all of the auxiliary stuff, I'm kind of like, whatever. But this is going to be there's a big Deathstroke tie-in coming up, so I feel like that might be cool.
Cool, yeah. Or, it's the art's decent.
I think I just spoiled the ending of the comic. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, I think it's been solicits, and I'm assuming that most of our listeners probably read them. So it's probably not a huge shock that there's a Deathstroke series crossover coming up. Teen Titans, I mean, it's probably better than I think it is. I don't know. It's hard for me with a comic that has like so few recognizable characters in it, where it's just like I don't know if I have the bandwidth to really get on board on like 5 new characters. But yeah, Crush is cool. She has graffiti in her bedroom that says something funny, if I recall from this.
I think she has "kill or be killed." She has pasted on her wall.
On her wall. Where is it? You look at the... Wait, no, don't...
Don't? I'm gonna
here it
start.
Is. She literally just has the words "drop dead" written in spray paint on the side of her bedroom wall.
I like the fact that she punches holes through her walls when she's like,
just like
super... Like, she's a superhero with like, you know...
It just like...
Come on, really? Drywall is something that you think that you're like...
Yeah.
It doesn't even seem like it's worth it.
Her bedroom is literally like a mattress on a floor and then a bunch of holes punched in the wall and then the words "drop dead" spray painted on the wall.
I love it. I like her a lot. I think it's a great character.
I mean, which one... I'd be willing to
Who
bet
do
that.
I identify with most on the Teen Titans? There it is.
It reminds
mattress on the floor, punched out walls, lady.
It reminds me of a time in my life where I lived in an apartment that had I had only a mattress on the floor and a giant flaming carrot mural painted on my wall. It was amazing, and I moved out of that apartment without painting over that mural. And so someone came in there. It was my friend Star painted it, and it was flaming carrot. And it, he said, "You're no, you're no Jack Kennedy," is what it said. This huge.
Oh, I, man.
To this day, like, forever regret the fact that, like, I never took a picture of it.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, I never did.
Wow.
I know.
I hope it's still there.
It might. It's. I mean, it's under layers of paint, but it's definitely still there. Oh, that's a shame. It was on Gay Street in Rockland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, how about Venom number 11?
Mm. That was a comic that came out.
Yeah. Continues to be great. It's fun if you care about the maker and you care about Eddie Brock. This is going to be a book that you want to read.
If you care about cool Venom art.
Also really also cool Venom art. Not a lot of Venom in this because Eddie Brock's still locked in a box being tortured by the Maker. But, you know, he's like...
And the Maker is Reed Richards, teenage Reed Richards from the,
Ultimate Universe. He's the evil Ultimate Universe version of Reed Richards, yes.
And for some reason, he's the villain of Venom.
Yeah, I like that.
That's cool. That's
it was just kind of a random decision, but it's cool.
Yeah.
And it's interesting too, and this story kind of focuses around the kid that is his brother, Eddie Brock's little brother character.
Ah.
So yep,
okay.
And some other big spoilers and blah blah blah. But
yeah, you
it's
might want to check this one out. There's some
there's a big revelation at the end, which is kind of interesting.
Continuity changing.
Yes, so that's fun. So actually, speaking of things that are fun,
oh yeah.
I really dug the Return of Wolverine 5.
Yeah, it was fine.
This was definitely where I was. This is what I was looking for in this whole series, to be honest.
They don't explain why he has hot claws, although maybe they kind of do. I'm not sure.
I have a feeling there's something in here that's explaining it.
There's a thing involving fire that I don't know. It does explain how he came back to life. Which was yes. At least that was cool, and also, what's the name of the artist on this one?
Let's see. That would
Steve
be
McNiven.
Steve McNiven. Oh
yes.
Wow!
Yes, and he is channeling Barry Windsor Smith.
Oh my God! Yeah,
big way, which is cool for
really
Weapon
is.
X fans. It's a definite Barry Windsor Smith Wolverine.
Oh, you're right.
Kind of archetype, but there's some really good. If you
oh,
recall,
yeah, especially
from the,
when he's all burned up.
But my favorite part is when there's so Wolverine in this version has like all the different like versions. Like imagine like where the Hulk has like a bunch of different versions and they all kind of live within his head. That conceit is now been adapted to Wolverine, and all the different versions of Wolverine are in his head, and there's still the one that's just like Bub.
Yes, his, like, the berserker just says Bub,
and then he doesn't get let out of the cage, and he's like Bub.
He's so mad.
Yeah. I dug it. It was definitely the best issue of that series so far. I think it's like a double sized two.
Poor Bub.
Extra length thriller, and you get to see Wolverine surviving in space with no suit.
And Doctor Strange number 11 is out. I didn't read it.
Yes, I did read it.
And?
Is it
strange?
Not really.
Is there any doctoring?
I mean, surgery? No. But there
is a shame.
It's Dormammu and Dormammu. However you say Dormammu. He's from a race of Dormammus, and they have all come to Earth to take over, and everybody is scared, and then stuff happens.
That seems like too many Dormammus.
There's a lot of Dormammus.
But is only one of them the Dread Dormammu?
Dormammu, a female moo.
Exactly. A female moo.
Aquaman is out.
Aquaman
all
is
new.
Out.
Aquaman. Aquaman, you're on notice. You get one more issue. This issue, I like the art style. I like the idea of what they're doing with Aquaman, but this entire issue is just like explaining the history of the gods of the sea that you've never heard of before, and I just don't care about it.
Yep.
I don't. You said it, what would you say? It was like a 90s.
It feels like a 90s Vertigo book.
Yeah, and that's just not.
Not what
they got
not what
issue.
People sign on for when they're looking for an Aquaman
I want
comic.
And there is.
It's really like, it reminds me of. I can't remember the name of it, but there was one Vertigo book of that era that was just like lots of goddesses and things that were like floating around. It was like a very oddball title that was like around the same time as Promethea, but wasn't Promethea. It was something else.
Was it that Garth Ennis book called Goddess?
Might be that one that I'm thinking of.
That actually was a pretty good series. I liked that one. So maybe, I don't know if that's...
No, it was something else. It had a very strange name. And there was another one that was biblical at the same time that was like another similar thing to that, where it's just big splashes and like no panels. Like this whole thing barely had any panels.
Yeah,
it's just like words over giant images that kind of blend together over the course of a page.
Yeah.
It just didn't have any direction, which is tough for a superhero book when you're like, you kind of want plot to just be like smacking you in the face in most superhero books. And this was just like, how about instead it's just mood.
Yeah.
For the whole thing. And mood is not, you know.
Well, they're establishing a new villain, and I get that. But similar, you know how like we were talking about when we read the Nightwing comic, and there was like on the first couple pages, there was like this one page where there were three little caption boxes that described literally like the last 4 months worth of Nightwing comics in like five lines. And you were like, okay, like I didn't need to read those comics. This is all I need.
Yeah.
Like, you can encapsulate a lot of information into a short. So I don't need an entire 20-page comic to explain the history of the god of salt and the god of water and how they had sex and made the god of ocean and the, you know, like, I just do that in a page. That's fine. You're establishing your new villain. That's cool. But I don't know. I don't want this. I want Aquaman. There's like a thing with Aquaman and his companion, and they're traveling across the sea and doing stuff. And it's like, okay, that's cool.
That
but like have
fun.
Aquaman do cool Aquaman stuff. Don't have the whole issue just be like him sitting on a boat and then like a bunch of splash pages of gods doing nebulous things.
Yep. Agreed.
I think it was especially when the comic, sorry about the blast of sound there. Especially when the comic costs $4.
Yeah.
I think.
All right, Black Widow.
Yeah.
Number two.
I didn't really read it.
Well, it's looks like it's got a Clayton Crane cover. Maybe
cool.
Maybe I'm imagining that. No, yeah, Clayton Crane. It's cool, you know. It's a Black Widow story. It's certainly not what I was expecting from a Black Widow story. It's obviously lots of spy crap, but it's a little more, it's a little less street level than I was expecting. Like a little more colorful supervillainry than I would expect from something that's a Black Widow book.
I do enjoy that it has the Tiger character
from
the early issues of the Chris Claremont Wolverine series.
Absolutely love
that
series.
From Madripoor or whatever.
Yeah.
Black Widow. It's an international intrigue.
They're
and
at the
spy
Princess Bar
stuff.
In Madripoor.
Nice. Last one we have here, and again, this is not the end of the stack, but there's a missing box.
Yes.
Seven to Eternity is back, number 13. I actually really dug this. I do this thing where I save up issues to read, but now that I do the podcast, I don't really want to let myself do that. So I kind of skipped a few issues. But the nice thing about Seven to Eternity is even if you did miss a few issues, there's like a page on the front that's just like, here's what happened before. And so you don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
It's right there. You missed a couple. It's cool. Just jump right in. And I thought this was badass. And Jerome Pena is one of the modern 2019 like modern comic book masters. I'm surprised he hasn't done a comic with Mark Millar, but thank God he's doing one with Rick Remender because this is a great book.
I have a feeling that Remender and Millar have like a battle royale for artists. Like the two of them are like,
that's cool,
making backdoor deals and like trying to sneak artists, because the two of them like fight for the top tier artists.
Well, the artists are the real winners if they get to work with
either Millar
or that's a win-win too, but
it is.
But I would rather read the comics that are written by Remender.
Yeah, me too.
In this case, I really dug it. It's a cool story. It's just epic fantasy, kind of twists and turns. Doesn't go where you're... Much like Fear Agent, kind of like went in different tangents. But in this way, it's like actually just more the storytelling, I think, is a little bit more refined.
Right. He doesn't rely so much on... He now is brave enough to not be funny all the time.
Yeah.
Like, where Fear Agent, he was like... He relied on so much sarcasm and so many levels of like, oh, you know, here's this crazy idea, but it doesn't matter because I'm just joking.
Well, there was that clement nature of Fear Agent that was like, he just like basically became Mark Twain in space.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, that was fine. Like, I love that series. But this is like conceptually like I want this to be like a board game or something. It's like, it's just this amazing tapestry of like, yeah, it would be like Risk, but this would be like amazing. Or like a D&D campaign or something like that. That like
beautiful.
Uses, like, it just, I don't know. There's like a, it's really, really cool. And the art is just literally like, there's almost like Sean Phillips.
There's kind of nobody.
Like, yeah. There's like Sean Phillips would be like the other guy that I'm just like, is that good? And then there's like, I mean, and I hate to say it, cause there's artists that I actually technically, I would say I like more than these guys. But like in terms of just like objectively, like who's the best, like, you would have to include
these guys. Absolutely.
And it's awesome. It looks
great. If Opinia isn't in your top five,
is also really good. Hollingsworth.
He's
the best.
Good.
So there's some really great stuff. And then okay. I made a very specific point to remember that there is trades. What are the trades that came out?
Oh my God, we're missing a bunch of the trades that
came out. There was really good ones. There was really good ones.
Uh-oh.
And I forgot them because my brain sucks.
Oh.
They were things... Oh, West Coast Avengers.
Oh yeah, West Coast Avengers trade is out. That's so good.
If you're a trade reader, get that one.
It's time.
Really good. One of my favorite books. And then there was another one. Oh, Why the Last Man?
Yeah,
that's going to be a show.
Yes.
So get in on that train if you haven't.
Big old hardcover of those guys.
Like
now.
An omnibus, and then also Transmetropolitan. You had a number one volume of Transmet.
Yes, we reordered.
Which,
Transmet,
why isn't
constantly.
That a show? Oh my God, why isn't that a show?
I have no idea.
I guess because maybe it would be too hard to do. Because like
it would be awesome.
Ah. One of my greatest, I've probably even said this on the podcast, one of my greatest regrets is that I sold every issue of Transmet for like literally nothing to a friend of mine, and he still has them.
Cogswell?
Yeah. And yes. I want them back, but I'll never get them back.
You'll never get them back. He will never sell you his.
Why would you? I can't believe. I mean, I sold every issue of Hitman to him, which was kind of like a rough one too, but like I can live without those. Like I really want, like the issues, like it just, oh, they're so good. Anyway, whatever.
Anyway, all right. Well, that's it. Sorry we didn't have everything this week. Blame Diamond. Check out our website. Bastards. I will update. I obviously didn't list the things that we don't have because I don't know what the condition is going to be when we get them in. But we do have about, you know, a little more than half of the books that are out this week are listed on the website. You can buy them. You can also wait until tomorrow, and I will relist the rest of them. So hopefully by the end of the day on Wednesday, we'll have all that stuff up. I'm probably going to put the newsletter out a day late just so that everything actually links up.
Yeah.
And that's the deal. Awesome. Thanks, guys. All right. See you.